That's like saying the President of the United States doesn't agree and he does away with all the laws that Congress has made. Just the same thing, and yet that's what all of the Protestant churches are claiming, as well as the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church, I don't think they talk too much about the law being done away, as they do that the Bible is not an authoritative guide, but that the authority is vested in their church and not in the Bible. That is the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. But actually, the authority is in the Bible. But now Paul says, but if one comes with a different gospel, well, now most of them have had that. I'm afraid, let me see, for if some come and preach another Jesus, and so some of them came with a different Jesus that had done away with his father's law, or if you should receive a different spirit. They want an attitude of selfishness and self-centeredness, where the spirit that I am teaching for all of you is the spirit of Christ. It is one of submission to God and the will of God. It is one of humility instead of vanity. It is one of obedience to God and reverence to God and worship to God alone and to Christ as his Son. It is one of giving instead of getting. It is not one of lust and greed. It is not one of coveting. It is one of generosity and cooperating and wanting to give. It is not one of jealousy or envy, but one of love and one of patience toward other people. It is not one of competition, especially competition that means that in order for you to get, you have to take it away from somebody else. Take all of our sports, almost all of them. Football, basketball, baseball. If you win, you've got to defeat the other one. You've got to make the other one suffer. We had a presidential election while I was gone on the last visit to the Middle East. I read in the newspaper of how President Carter and his wife went into a room alone, and they just wept aloud. They were in agony because they had lost the vote. There was a competition. There had been a contest. They had had a debate. And there was angry, and there were flared-up nerves in that debate against one another. And Mr. Carter had even accused Mr. Reagan of being a warmonger and wanting to increase the military force of the United States so we could start another war. And Mr. Reagan, of course, denied that immediately, and then Mr. Carter backed down and said he didn't quite mean that. But, however, there was angry words going back and forth. And when Mr. Reagan won, Mr. Carter suffered the agony of defeat. But, you know, I had to think. 4 years ago, it was the other way. And 4 years ago, Mr. Carter won and was enjoying the ecstasy of winning. But did he suffer himself because Gerald Ford was then suffering the agony of defeat? No, that only hurt Gerald Ford. That didn't hurt Mr. Carter, not a bit. And this time, I don't think the fact that Mr. Carter was in agony and crying out loud with his wife, I don't think that upset Mr. Reagan very much. You see, Mr. Reagan was enjoying the ecstasy of winning a little too much. Yes, he was. A little too much. Well, that shows you the spirit. God gives us a different spirit, and it's one of love toward God and love toward neighbor. And love is what you can give and not what you can get. And then, further, if you accept a different gospel. Now, some come preaching a different gospel. They come preaching a gospel about Christ or a social gospel. But they don't preach the message of Christ about the kingdom of God. The gospel is the gospel Christ preached. Gospel means good news. What was the good news Christ brought? It was the good news there will be the government or the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God reestablishing the government of God on earth. And with the kingdom of God operating that government. So you don't hear that at all in what is called Christianity today. So apparently that is what these opposers were bringing. He said, from one that you accepted, if you accept the person, you submit to it readily enough. I think that I am not the least inferior to those superlative apostles. Now, here it's a little different in the King James, and he says the chiefest of the apostles in the King James. There I think he's referring to Peter and John and James and the chief apostles at Jerusalem, but he was not a bit inferior to them, and he wasn't. He says, even if I am unskilled in speaking. Now, you see, he was not as good a speaker as he was a writer, as I said. I am not in knowledge. In every way, we have made this plain to you in all things. Did I commit a sin in abasing myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached God's gospel without cost to you? In other words, even though Paul himself makes it very plain in his writings that there's been a change in the law, that the tithes are to go today to the priesthood of Christ and the ministers of Christ, even though he says right here in one of the letters to the people at Corinth, that he had a right to take a wife with him in his travels, when he travels, to have a wife travel with him, and that to be supported as the in the Old Testament, the ministers at the altar, or the Levites were, by the tithing system. Paul makes that plain, and he makes it plain that tithing is made certain. Now, one of the prophets, that is one of the foundation of the Bible, Malachi says that we are a thief and we are robbing God if we do not pay our full honest tithe. I think Paul made a mistake there. Paul should have told these people, it's your duty to tithe. That's an important thing. Tithing is giving. God wants people to learn to give and not to get. But it's not only giving, tithing is giving by paying what you owe. We owe it to God. We owe the tithing to God. But because those people didn't want to tithe, Paul accepted tithing and money from other churches so he could preach at Corinth without it, and he let them get it. Now, Paul was at fault there. And I would tell Paul so if he were here in this room today. Because I think in some ways maybe I'm not a whit behind some of the other apostles either. We have more facilities for understanding today than they did then, more facilities for getting the gospel out, and we have all the writings that they put down and all of the knowledge they had. He says, I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. But Paul was not a getter. He was not to get. He only received from the others in order that he could give and serve the people at Corinth, as well as the others, of course. And when I was with you and was in want, I did not burden anyone, for my needs were supplied by brethren who came from Macedonia. Let's see. And what I do, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such are false apostles. Now here were others. Now he's not here referring to Peter, James, and John, or Andrew, or some of those at all. He's referring to other false ministers. I don't know why they should be called apostles here. Deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, or transforming themselves in the King James into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan appears as if he's an angel of light, and not that he is one that is harboring darkness and wanting to get darkness into you. So it is not strange if his servants also disguise themselves as the servants of righteousness. Now notice, they that come and oppose the truth of Paul were the ministers of Satan. And those that have gone out of this church were the ministers of Satan. And yet, if I say, the real guilt isn't yours, the real guilt is Satan's, and I take the real guilt off of you and place it on Satan, and Christ has died to pay for your guilt if and whenever you repent and turn from it. They get angry and say, well, you're saying if Satan's guilt and not mine, that then I'm a minister of Satan. Satan can't deceive me. Oh, no, Satan can never deceive me, they will say. Well, Satan has deceived them. Them who were vice presidents in the Church of God, those who were evangelist rank, at the highest rank next to apostle in the church, they have gone out. And I tell you, I was so discouraged about it the other day. It seemed to me that we'd lost half or more of all of the top-ranking ministers in the church, that Satan had gotten in here and gotten them. Satan is attacking this church. Satan is trying to destroy this church. Satan hates this church. Satan would try to destroy me if he could. I have to continue to pray out to God that he won't let Satan do that, and he'll help me to do what God wants me to do, and not what Satan wants me to do. But Satan did get to others at the very top in the church, right next to me. How did he do it? I've just written a long article about that, and it'll be in the next issue of the Worldwide News. Be sure that you read it. It's a fairly long article, not too long, but it's a full article. And I'm showing exactly how Satan got to these men and why. And I'm saying, I'm not blaming those men. I'm putting the main blame on Satan. And those men, all they have to do is repent of it and turn back to Christ and turn back to the way of God, and Christ will forgive it, and so will I. If Christ will forgive it, so will I. But Christ will not forgive it until they turn from it. And repent means turn from it so you don't do it again. But no, they're persisting in it. And one of those very top men sat in a meeting the other day. I don't know, within the last week or within the last 10 days or 2 weeks in Los Angeles, where there was a meeting of the people of the legislature, where the deputy or the attorney general and his deputies were trying to get the Senate and the Assembly of the legislature and the state of California to now initiate another bill that will do away with the Petras bill they just passed. And as a result of that, of course, the Attorney General was forced to drop his suit against the Worldwide Church of God. Well, they're still fighting. And here was a former minister, a top-ranking vice president, and an evangelist of the Church of God, and there, and, oh, he didn't know. He's the one who approved all of the financial things they're saying was wrong. These things were not wrong. Why doesn't he stand up and say they were not wrong, they were right? But he said, oh, I don't know anything about that. And he was lying. And there he was lying right in front of an executive committee, a legislative committee. No, he said, no, I don't know a thing about that. He was head of the finances. He was the very one. At that time, he was approving expenditures that he now says were siphoning millions of dollars away for personal use. There weren't anything of the kind. Why doesn't such a man repent? Why doesn't he turn from that? Why does he go on lying? Of course, he's just working with his hands for a living today. He's not in God's church. But he's still letting Satan get to him. Instead of turning away from Satan, he's going farther and farther. It's just like out in the dark woods late at night when there's no moon at all, and it's pitch dark and you're lost in the woods. And here's a guide with a lantern right in front of you. He's going to lead you out of it. But you step aside one step, and he keeps more going on. He's not going to stand still. He's on the way out. You step aside one step, and you wait a while, and he's gone three or four steps on beyond, and it's so dark that now you can't see that light, and you don't know where he is, and you don't know which way is north and which is south and east and west. You're lost in the woods. You don't know the way out. You see, the lantern there that is leading him out of the woods is the light lamp that is the light unto our feet, which is the Bible. And which in the Psalms, David says, is a lamp under our feet, the Word of God, the Bible. But what lights up that lamp? It's the Holy Spirit. That is the oil in the lamp that burns and lights it up. And it's the Holy Spirit that is going on then, isn't it? Lighting the Bible. They take one step away from the Bible. And the Bible goes on and the Holy Spirit, but they go wrong. And now they start out trying to find it, and they try to run, but they're running the wrong direction. And they're getting farther and farther away all the time. And these men that have gone out of the church, they go one step out, they go a second step away from the truth, a third step away from the truth. Many of those ministers who went out in 1974, they have long, first they quit keeping the annual holy days. Now they don't believe that we are the lost 10 tribes of Israel anymore, or that one of them. That we're one of the tribes. And the next thing is, then they quit even keeping the Sabbath. They formed churches of their own and called it a church of God. It wasn't a church of God. It was just their own corporation that they formed in a civil court. It never was a church. Where are they now? Oh, they've all got jobs working with their hands to try to earn a living. And it's pitiful. Some of these men are around 50 years of age. That's kind of late in life when they're not prepared for anything else, and yet they can't go on in the ministry of Christ because they let Satan begin to lead them the wrong way. I want to tell you there's a great responsibility on any man near the top. I've tried to keep from any high office and everything, but the Bible says we have to have, under an apostle, we have to have evangelists and pastors and elders and so on, and so we have them. But it seems like even the title of evangelist will go to the head of people. They get to thinking that they want to run everything. They all want their own little empire. They want to sit, have the chief seat. Now, I always think of our little Dachshund dog, Sir Hans Armstrong. He thinks he owns this whole house. And so he wants the chief seat, and he'll climb up into the chief seat. I don't know why the two chief seats in this particular room are both vacant today. Everybody took a lower seat. Well, if someone would like a more comfortable seat, you could sit there. I don't know where is the deputy sheriff? Oh, he's right down at my wife's feet. Yeah. Well, of course, the only place he'd rather be than in the chief seat is on her lap. He loves that. But he wants lots of petting. Of course, he thinks he's the deputy sheriff, and he protects the whole house. But he thinks he's the head boss. Well, now, I tell you, a lot of these ministers who thought they were the head boss and wanted to take over were no more the head boss than Sir Hans Armstrong is. And I don't know how long he'd last if we didn't keep feeding him, because he has to get his feed, and every night he comes around at feeding time, I notice. Well, some of these men are having to work with their own hands to feed themselves and their families now. They claim they're the ministers of Christ. They claim they're right. Well, if they can come and prove to me that the doctrines of the church are wrong and that they're right, we'll all get right, won't we? And we would like nothing better. Now, if I can find my place here. Verse 16. I repeat, let no one think me foolish. But even if you do think that, accept me as a fool so that I too may boast a little. Now, Paul is kind of kidding here, and he adds right here, he says, what I am saying, I say not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool, in the boastful confidence, since many boast of worldly things, I too will boast. Now he just throws that in, that this is not inspired by God, but he is just doing a little bit of kidding, as we'd say today, for a while. But he's talking about the opposing people that wanted to oppose the way of God and the truth of God and what Paul was preaching. For you gladly, and what had been taught in the church. For you gladly bear with fools. These people were gladly bearing with these false prophets. You bear with fools, being wise yourselves, or thinking you're wise. For you bear it if a man makes slaves of you, or preys upon you, or takes advantage of you, or put on airs, as others did, and strikes you in the face. And spiritually, that's what others were doing. To my shame, Paul says, I must say, we were too weak for that. And there are those that think I'm very weak. Though my name is Armstrong, I say, well, that's only strong arm. But I'm not so strong, even my arms anymore. Not as strong as I used to be, and I never was noted for strength in the arms. I hope that God has given me a little bit of spiritual strength, however. I know that's where the strength and the power is, not in any of us ourselves. See, are they descendants of Abraham? He says, so am I. Are they servants of Christ? So am I. Now, they descendants of Abraham, all right, I will say today, so am I. I'm a descendant of Abraham, and I'm a descendant of David. I'm of the house of David, and I have my genealogy to prove it. All the way back to David, every generation. Are they the servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors. Now he's telling of what he has gone through in the ministry. Now, I haven't gone through the same thing he has. I haven't gone through as many physical troubles as Paul did, but I have gone through just as many spiritual troubles and heartbreaks and things to trouble and worry as Paul did, I believe. I verily believe that. But notice what he'd gone through. With far greater labors, that is, than these other men that opposed him, far more imprisonments. I haven't had to be imprisoned. With countless beatings, I've never been whipped and beaten. I haven't had to suffer those physical things that Paul did. And often near death. Well, I was pretty close to death once, but not from beatings. In fact, I think I was dead, but I was revived and brought back. 5 times I have received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one, or 40 stripes, it is in the King James. That was the usual number. They spared him that last one. It's supposed to be 40 stripes, and they would never give him that final 40th one. 3 times have I been beaten with rods. Now, I haven't had to suffer those things. Those are physical things. Once I was stoned, and I've never been stoned. 3 times, Paul says, he had been shipwrecked. Now, I've been near shipwrecked. I have been right in the very midst of a hurricane in the Atlantic Ocean, the worst that one of the greatest ships had ever been in, and the captain of that ship was long, he was just about ready to retire. He'd been a captain of a ship so long, and never had he been in or heard of anything as bad. And I got the only photographs of that. Now, there were waves that were, I think, 30 and 40 feet high. That's the height of a third or three or four story high building. Very, very great wave, but it was a big ship, and we would have been broken right in two, but we had to keep changing the ship and going right into the way the winds were coming. And when the winds change, as they do whirl around in a hurricane, we had to change the direction and keep trying to plow into the winds, otherwise they would have broken the ship right in the middle and we'd all drowned. A night and a day I have been adrift at sea, and I've never had to suffer that. That's a physical thing. On frequent journeys, and I've been on many journeys, certainly, in a different way than Paul was. In danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles. Well, now, I have been in danger. For example, just a week ago, prior to the evening news, there was a news flash that on the regular, I believe it was a regular 6 o'clock evening news, that there was a man coming out here to kill Herbert W. Armstrong. That would be the main news that when the news time came along. And sure enough, the sheriff had come out to warn us. And there was a man on the way. He had a loaded two or three rifles, a revolver, and he had a lot of ammunition in a large, some kind of a motor vehicle. And he was on the way out here to kill me on Thanksgiving Day. And for 2 days, that was the big news on local television news and in the local newspapers here in Tucson. It so happened that the man turned the other way. He was coming from the Middle West, up around northern Ohio or Michigan, and he finally headed on down toward Florida. And last I heard, authorities had gotten him and taken his weapons away, but they couldn't do anything with him because he hadn't done any damage yet. That's one thing with man's law. With God's law, we'll be able in the kingdom of God to read people's minds, and if you see there's such an intent there, they'll be punished in such a way to prevent their going ahead with it right then. But today, men can't do anything. They have to wait until they've done the damage. They let them murder someone, and they just stand aside and let them murder them. They say, well, we can't do anything until after he's committed the crime. That's man's law. But my life has been threatened many times, many times. I get sued by people that are angry, and anybody can sue anybody about anything they want. That's the jurisdiction system in the United States, judicial system. But anyway, going on, Paul had danger at sea, danger from false brethren. Now, I've had plenty of that. Now you're getting down to spiritual dangers, and I've had plenty of that. People making up every kind of a... Well, you know, they say that Hitler said that if you tell a small lie, people won't believe it. But if you tell a great big lie, people will believe it. And so they can make up things that I don't know how a fiendish mind of Satan could make up. And they accuse me of things that are just unheard of. Mr. Rader has just been the last 2 days in a very large Canadian city, because there were men up there and in the public press, they were trying to stir up things against me by printing false accusations and things of that sort. It isn't me that they hate, it's Christ, and it's the truth that I preach. If I weren't preaching that, if I were an entertainer like Bob Hope, they'd all applaud. No one's trying to kill Bob Hope. No one is trying to kill Jack Benny. No one is trying to kill Bing Crosby until he just died a natural death. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, well, I've had some of those. In hunger and thirst, well, I've had plenty of that. Often... without food. Now, I've had to go without food. In cold and exposure. And, apart from other things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for the churches. In other words, the rule or the administering the government of God over all of the churches, as you'll find it in the King James Version there. The oversight of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indigent? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I do not lie. At Damascus, the governor under King Artagas guarded the city of Damascus in order to seize me. Now, there was a governor, the head of the government. Well, I've had the head of the government after us and after the whole church. But they finally gave up. But, he says, I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall of the city. Well, I've been there and I've seen that very wall where Paul was let down in Damascus and escaped the hand. I think that we'd better just leave there, and there are two more chapters that we'll take at another time, because it's getting to be about enough for one Bible study. Well, I got to talking as usual, and I got a lot of other things in besides just reading to you. I think if I just read what is in here, anybody could do that. But that is not a real Bible study. I think I need to use what is here to call to mind other things that need to be preached to you and given and... So I try to make these Bible studies more meaningful in a way than just reading through them. They're fine that way, but these things that I read go together with many other scriptures in all other parts of the Bible. And we do need someone who knows all of the Bible and can put the other things together and get the whole meaning and the whole purpose of God out of it. So I will say goodbye for now and hope to have another Bible study, God willing, next Sabbath.